Hello, everyone. Hello. You've tuned into Radiance by Design. And it's funny. This is Veronica Entwistle. That's not so funny, is it? But Radiance by Design is all about you consciously radiating and me consciously radiating. And what an impact that has on our planet. I was listening to one of my paradigm shifters the other night in the middle of the night. When I wake up, I often wake up around 3. I do a meditation. And quite often, that's the most profound time to meditate, as a lot of you know. But also then, sometimes I'll flick on a paradigm shifter, and especially if they've got transcendent energy. And one of the people, for some reason, it just flipped up randomly, and I think I'm going to replay it next week. But it was Peter Calhoun, bless his heart. And he was talking about, and this is relevant to Radiance by Design, he was talking about when he was an Episcopalian priest, and he started to kind of leave the organized religion. He knew something, but then he had a near-death experience or out-of-body experience or something, and he was out with an angel figure or a spiritual support figure of some sort. And he said it was interesting because he looked at the earth, and there was this skin kind of, I guess somewhere between a skin and a shell, all around our planet. And he said it was created by an elite force, which you and I have heard lots about in different ways that people describe this, right? And it was created by an elite force, and all the people were walking in an incredibly limited way. In his vision, everybody had stooped shoulders. Everyone was living lives of sort of acceptance, quiet desperation, you might want to call it, and which we've all heard of. But he said something that I heard. You know how sometimes you hear things over and over again and then you hear it really well, you hear it really differently all of a sudden. So he was talking about how some people, and he said there were like 500 million, probably three or four or 500 million light workers on the planet. And those of you who have heard Lavendar's interview, she talks about how there are light workers or star seeds all over the planet as well. And that these are beings, and you're probably one or you wouldn't be listening to this show, whose will and strength and intelligence is releasing and unleashing an absolutely inimitable power where we can push through that, if we want to call it a skin around the planet, if we want to call it a limiting force around the planet, we can push through and become absolutely amazingly powerful. What do you think of that? I'm trying to tune up my volume here. I don't know how it's doing for you. But in any case, when we're talking about radiating by design, when we're talking about choosing your radiance, it's kind of like that. It's like, oh, and so I want to talk about empathy tonight. I want to go back to Peter Calhoun. I'm not jumping around. I'm trying to weave, if you know what I mean. Peter Calhoun, we're going to run his show again this coming week because I really think he's amazing. He called and said he loved his interview and he wanted to come on again, but he passed over. So, he's probably not going to be channeled for the show. However, we're going to run his show again on Tuesday night, and it's really worth listening to. It's also going to be podcasted if it isn't already. So I really recommend that you listen because it's just so wonderful. He even talks in that interview about how the drought in Sedona, they did so many ceremonies and so on, and they ended the drought in Sedona. And I keep thinking in this California thing, we should be able to end this drought. If they're using all kinds of electronic tools in order to send out the frequencies, right, to limit our weather patterns, because there's some of that. Some of it's a natural force of change on the planet, but some of it is human-induced, and we know that. And I don't believe it's one thing or the other. But there's a lot of human induction that is suspect, you know. And basically going back to Peter Calhoun or even some of Lavendar's stuff or many others, David Icke and, oh gosh, we could probably list a bunch. But I don't like to do that. I like to stick with a couple in order to keep myself from getting overwhelmed, da, 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 da. But anyway, I look at you and I look at me and I see so many of you out there are struggling to break free of old patterns and really stay with that more high frequency radiance that you get when you're doing your meditation, when you're doing your soundings, when you're doing your breathings, and all of that. That goes back to what Peter Calhoun was saying, that we can move up and through that skin and become a very unlimited being. And a lot of us are doing that at times. Oh my gosh. You know, there's so much going on and so many people having absolute breakthroughs, like people who almost die and then pop, they're alive again. People are having near-death experiences. People are having just a great epiphanies and then waking up to their ability to change themselves. It's all part of that awakening process. Awakening is to me, is learning to use our divinity, learning to recognize the divinity within. It's like a seed in the garden or like a tree and a blossom, that seed has infinite power to bloom every year into a new blossom. It has an amazing infinite power. If you watch seeds close up or if you watch flowers bloom, you know that already, and so do I. But what these people are saying is we have amazing power as well. Even in the healing world, you know, there's so much about, for example, I was talking to Dawn earlier. I had some pain yesterday from a lot of physical activity. And what did I do in the middle of the night? I got up, struggled until I found my, because I've been moving again. What I found was my turmeric, okay? And I've been using a tincture because I'm traveling and it's very portable. And then I go blop, 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 put a couple of droppers into my water. And I was drinking it like mad. And lo and behold, all my pain went away. Oh, my goodness. And it was that kind of pain that you know where it came from. And it was all through my body. I had schlepped a whole bunch of stuff until I thought I would collapse on the ground because I think I'm so fit. And sometimes, you know, you realize you may not be as hot as you think. But in any case, it took care of it in a minute. And the thing that I'm finding here is that what we used to say when I was first learning about vitamins and supplements way back when in the 70s, and probably earlier, but that's when I really studied it. One of the things they talked about a lot was the intrinsic factor. Do you remember that, some of you? What is the intrinsic factor? I kind of look back on that line and go, you know what? I think that's the divinity. I think that is how we refer to that part of every molecule or every seed of every plant, of every person, of every spirit that has that incredibly transcendent nature, right? And I say transcendent, but it gives birth to itself. And that's one of the things you're learning and I'm learning, to give birth to ourselves. And why I referred to turmeric is because with a lot of things like pharmaceuticals, you don't necessarily have the intrinsic factor. That's been taken out, hasn't it? You know, that the intrinsic factor is the living part of it, that living portion. Or when we categorize humanity and say this works for everyone, doesn't necessarily, because there's something about you that's different than me. And that is another version of the intrinsic factor. That's a part of you that is uncategorizable. No one size fits all, because you're a human being and as such you can't be categorized, can you? You cannot, you know what I mean? We can't affix this definition, even though we try with things like astrology and numerology and doodly-doo and blah-blah-blah. And the other thing that I keep hearing is that to break out, go back to Peter Calhoun's thing, to break out of this incredibly limiting force, the forces of even organized religion, authority, picketh an authority, any authority, government for democracy created by the enslavement of the lobbyists and so on. I mean, it's kind of ironic. I think of Citizens United. Doesn't that make you guffaw? That's the opposite to what it is. Total opposite. Citizens United, that doesn't make any sense at all. And yet we use it as a label for something. Woo, right? And so what we're trying to do is break out of – years and years ago, I wrote something about garbage can lids. We all had garbage can lids on us. And I still think of these things as like that, that these certain lobby things and certain labels and authority structures that are just as often built for the sake of corralling resources, getting the most money, being imperialists and running around and gathering up the most land and the most people. Well, the world's gotten very small now. So that great, expansive adventure of going out and discovering new territories and then putting your flag on it, that's kind of gone ola. And I hope we're not going to do that out in the galaxies, right? So what I'm saying to you tonight is it's so exciting to think that you and I are in a process of unlimiting ourselves, of kind of climbing out of a deep hole of limitations that we don't need to have, but we have to discover what they are, don't we? Yeah, and I just feel like, okay, so I wanted to talk tonight about empathy. Oh, remember we were doing the Ho'oponopono, that whole thing, which is the Hawaiian thing. Dr. Hu Lin is the fellow who ran the mental hospital for the criminally insane and got all kinds of people to start feeling better, and he got all kinds of healing stuff out of that. But one of the things in his teaching is, all he did was, there's two things I want to talk about. One of the things he did in his teachings, all he did was look at each person's file, absolutely consider them, realize we are creating our reality. So he had some role in creating this incredible situation for this person. So he said, and you all know this one, I'm sorry, please forgive me. I thank you and I love you, right? And what he says in his teachings, and I'm getting all this from Joe Vitale, he's a wonderful podcast if you want to get it. We had a wonderful interview with him not that long ago, actually last August, almost a year. But in any case, I listen to that periodically because it really boots up my memory about, not my memory, my confidence in doing the Ho'oponopono, which is that chanting. And it's really amazing. Now, Hu Lin also says that ego, and this is really, really important, okay? A lot of us struggle with ego or try to release it or try to do this, try to do that. But what he says is that the ego is just a fictitious thing and that the ego is made up of this whole cocoon of beliefs that you have and I have. And gosh knows where they came from. They probably came through all the levels of existences that you've been through and I've been through. They come through our lineage. They come through our DNA. They come through our soul's history. They come, oh my goodness, what a potpourri, huh? And what he says is, or what Vitale says, or both of them say, is that we don't need to be limited by all that stuff anymore. We don't need to. And my guides have said this for quite a while. We have enough energy motion in and around our planet, enough vibratory dynamic in and around our planet, in our earth, in ourselves, mobilized. We can step out of all the edicts of the subconscious, all the ways in which you and I have been imprinted with a way of being and the fears and limitations that we have bought into. And we might have bought into them through layers and layers and layers and layers of subconscious, unconscious, past life, hoodly-hoo, blah, blah, blah. So it's not about beating ourselves up. It's about just recognizing, oh, gee, I have a belief, right? And it's you don't even have to recognize them all. You just have to realize where you're stuck and stymied in a position, you can do a whole lot of clearing and you can do a whole lot of like meditation, clearing, breathing, movement, sounding, lots of music sounding and so on, and actually step out as if it's an old garb that you no longer want to wear. You can just step out of all the karma, all the leftover detritus of past experiences and be free, free, free as a bird. But one of the crippling forces a lot of us have because we're not asking the right questions is, if I want to be free, free, free as a bird, how much empathy am I living with? So all these people that are stooped under a skin around the planet, because supposedly an elite force is what created the limitations so we could be corralled or enslaved or however you want to call it. Now, where was I going with that? Yeah, what we're looking for is if we're all in this stooped kind of position, we're limited. Well, you can't expect more than this. These are all the lines that we've heard. We don't expect that. Don't reach too far. You know, I mean, it's dangerous out there. There's a whole bunch of this kind of stuff, right? And then we empathize. You can be with some people and suddenly you're afraid of a lot of things. And it's coming from them sometimes. And, you know, you can be with people and all of a sudden you're really sad or you're really angry. Or you're very ebullient and you're really sparky and perky. That's a good one, too. But the trick is that to realize that if it isn't yours, okay, then you don't have to be afflicted by it. Today, I was talking to somebody who was going through a lot and kind of convincing herself of a lot. But what was happening to me is I could barely walk. I came home and it took me quite a while to not vomit. And that was not my energy. So I had to really, and this is a really good example. I had to take myself in hand and say, you know what this is, and breathe it out, and breathe it out, and breathe it out. And it doesn't mean these aren't nice people. It doesn't mean anything. It just means that we are an empathetic species. And if you don't pull and push at some of the feelings that you're breathing in from other people, you can live their trauma. You can live their debilitation. I wonder how many people die from that. And I think a lot. I've told this story a lot, so forgive me. But anyway, I think it's a really poignant story. Many years ago, let's see, I don't know how many years, 20 odd years ago, 22 years ago or something, I was walking with two little girls into the Safeway, and I had in both hands. And all of a sudden, I thought, my brain went really weird, and I thought, oh my gosh, I'm going to have a seizure. Now, I was familiar with seizures because my ex-husband was having them kind of semi-regularly. So I thought that was pretty strange, and I stomped my foot, looked at these little kids. I stomped my foot, and I said to the guides, no, we're not doing that. I am not doing that. And I'm stomping my feet right there in the Safeway, announcing inside my mind. I wasn't trying to make an idiot of my children or make them embarrassed. But I also didn't want to embarrass them by having a seizure, right? So then I got home and I found out that my mother was having in the same part of the brain, in my brain, where the same part of my brain where all this discomfort was, my mom was having mini strokes, a whole series of them. And she lived to get there by car, it would take me at least 4 hours, okay? So she's a distance away, even in a different country, right? So then I sat down and talked to the guides about it, and they said, you are so connected with your mother that you can actually die with her if you let this happen. And that was the first time I really understood it, because it was very debilitating for me. It was all I could do to be obnoxious enough to stomp my foot and really declare to my guides and angels, my higher self and source energy, I'm not willing to do that, especially with these two little girls in my hand. And, you know, I just want to say to you, it's a very, 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 very important factor to have in your conscious brain, this whole thing about empathy. Because I used to laugh and go, well, I'm such an empath, I could look like you if I'm sitting beside you. So I hope you're really beautiful, because that'll help me a lot, won't it? So that's the upside of empathy, right? I can sit, or you can, we can sit by very beautiful people with great hearts, and we can feel and be and see that way, right? But most of the time, people aren't as realized as that. And so you got to kind of watch. And anyway, it's hard to describe. Sounds like I'm judging people. I'm not really. But people are all at different levels of vibrational reality, okay? And if people aren't as conscious about who they are or what they're doing, then they're going to be radiating some kind of confusion, or they're going to radiate some kind of control, or they're going to radiate. See what I mean? It's not very complicated for you to figure out what could be radiant, you know? And you know this. You're with your dearest girlfriend and she's sad, 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 and you feel really sad, sad, sad. You know, that's not rocket science, is it? But the trick is also to notice that and then learn to clear it and pass back an uplifting frequency. And ultimately what happens is your core frequency picks up speed, picks up speed, picks up speed, so you can hold on better and you could actually radiate back to other people a whole lot better. So it's not like the end of the world, but it is like the end of a way of being conscripted or limited in that huge mass corralment that we have had on this planet. And I think it's really exciting. These are very, very exciting times. If you look at this as the gateway opening, we're seeing more and more ways of seeing beyond. We're seeing a lot of people having near-death experiences. We're having a lot of miracles and more. And then I go back into Lavender talking about star seeds. And a lot of us read Marciniak's thing on starseed transmissions. Do you remember that? For some of you who are older, like I am, that was one of the big biblical books back in, it would have been in the late 80s, I guess. And the star seeds, as Lavendar says, are all over. She claims that she's the one who coined that phrase. She might well have been. So that would have been before Marciniak. But in any case, star seeds are being, how many of you, when you were little, knew you were from somewhere else, knew you didn't quite belong here? That's not necessary, but a lot of people I've talked to through the years had that same issue. And knowing that we didn't feel like we belonged here, a lot of us, and a lot of us were the only one in the family that was like that. Some of us weren't, but also here's another thing, is a lot of star seeds or a lot of, and I'll use that term because I like it, but a lot of people who are light workers is another term, didn't used to get along with one another very well. You know, you get a couple of them in the room and it got really tricky. And I think part of the deal was, is as we were waking up or as we were coming into our own, and we all did it at different levels, different rates, as we were coming into our own purification process, as we were coming through the process of extricating ourselves from this belief or that, or examining what we really cared about, we didn't get along very well. Because I'll tell you what, if you're sitting there going, oh, I'm defensive, oh, she's defensive, oh, there's a whole bunch of ways that it gets abrasive between people. And if we don't have a huge, huge picture of it, but we're kind of locked in our own selves, then what happens is we just don't get along. Nowadays, more and more star seeds or light workers are meeting with one another. And there's still a lot of, and I'm going to talk about this later, jealousy and stuff. There's still a lot of that going on. And maybe that is going to release itself because that's part of the glue that's held the masses together through thousands and thousands of years. We even had jealous gods, right? That God was very often a man-made production. Color by Warner Brothers. Let's do our meditation. Hey, and I want you to call in, but you know, you guys never do. So I'm going to have to wag my finger at you and say, all right, you know, you could also email me because I do get emails when we're doing this show, if I remember to look at it. But I would love that. Or you can text me at 520-360-2102. Text me at 520-360-2102. And I will answer any questions after we've done our wonderful meditation. Let's do one on, let's do the same old one, but we're going to use the goal of releasing empathy throughout our star structures, our star tetrahedron structures. I love the star tetrahedron, which is your light body, right? Because the more you, well, anyway, let's just do it this way. Call in above your head about 2 miles, a golden ball below your spine, about 40 feet. Now, somebody said, I don't like those measurements. I go, I don't care. I just want to say that it's way higher on top and way lower at the bottom. I don't care how big you make it. 2 inches, if you can really get a spatial relationship with your own visualizations, it doesn't matter, you know. That's the thing about magic. You can move all the pieces around to fit into your particular viewpoint at the time. Above your head is a golden ball. Below your spine is another golden ball. And there's an amazing gold filament of light running from the upper spine through your spine, from the upper ball through your spine into the lower golden ball. Right? And now drop a three-sided golden pyramid from the upper golden ball to about waist height. And then upside down, another three-sided golden pyramid, and it points into the lower golden ball. Push them together, and you got a diamond there, don't you? Sparkling, sparkling diamond. And inside of that, now push it out so we can play in it, okay? Because it's got to be a playground. And inside of that, you've got a crystal ball, a beautiful shimmering crystal ball, right? And inside of that, and this is a very, very feminine energy. Can you feel it when we go from the diamond into the crystal ball? Feel the shift in the energy. Talk about empathy. You see, it's kind of like that. The influences of energy forces around you. And sometimes with sacred geometrics, you can have protective energy and it protects you with a higher frequency, doesn't it? Now, inside of that, you've got your star tetrahedron. I say it is like a three-dimensional Star of David. And you're inside of that. And let's see that beautiful, beautiful star. And you're inside. So it's your light body. And I want you to spin and spin and spin it. Spin and spin and spin and spin. And as you do, look in front of you, there's a magical screen. And on that magical screen, the very first one is you becoming what it is you want to become. What do you want to become? Yeah. I want to become consciously multidimensional, and sometimes I am. What do you think of that? Consciously multidimensional. It's getting better and better. And just see that happening on the first screen. And you can be whatever you want to become, right? Yeah. And now wrap that in light, move it over to the side. Now we have another fresh screen. This is a magical screen. You could put anything on it you really want, okay? So now the second screen is you. You're doing a project. Pick a project that you want. It can be home and family. You want to create home and family. You want to create a house. You want to create world travel. You want to create amazing health for yourself and for other people. You want to be a healer. You want to write a book. You want to publish your book. You want to do a movie. It doesn't matter. See all the resources. It matters, but I mean, it doesn't matter which thing you pick. See all the resources flowing to you, so that you've got enough money, enough time, enough enthusiasm, enough people helping you. And, oh, it just comes together so beautifully. And there you are with this beautiful project. Oh, wow. And it's a contribution on the planet, isn't it? Yeah. And now from that, okay, all the resources come to sustain your project. So the time, the people, the money, the placement, the assistance to other people. Oh, my. And you just see it being sustained until it's natural. It's, you know, natural for it to stop at some point, right? And then wrap that in light and move it over to the side. And now we're going to go into the Galactic Healing Center. And in that center, we've got, we're calling in our special team of guides, the special helpers, our healing team, and have them stand round your table, your healing table. And the first person to come in on this healing table and to look up at this ring of guides that absolutely love you is you. So see yourself lying on that table and see and feel these beings standing around the table. And then you ask them for what it is you need help with, or you ask them what you need help with. Sometimes we don't even know, right? And then they talk to you. And now what do you feel? Yeah. And they're working on you. There you go. And how can you feel it? Yeah. Do you feel it right there? Oh, so now I'm working on you instead of me. I'm supposed to be working on me here. So here I go. All right. Yeah. Now they're helping me with a lot. So what I want to do when you're on the table and I'm on the table, we want to ask them to help us pull out anyone else that's in there right now. Now that's kind of a lot of people probably. but any of the current influences that you're empathizing with, ask them to pull those out and show you how. Yeah. What kind of information are you getting? Good. I'm getting a really deep, like a breath, like Ujjayi breath, or even it just can be a puffing like this. Always sucking it into the belly area and make your belly swell as you do it, and then slap it back in. You don't have to call it any kind of breath or anything. Just keep breathing it out, breathing it out, breathing it out. And if you know if it was the fellow on the bus, or it was your butcher, your baker, your candlestick maker, your lover, your sister, it doesn't matter. Just breathe it out. Breathe it out. You might want to ask to feel it too. This helps a lot of people. If you go into your body and you're lying on the table and you ask to feel where it is in your body, there you go. What happens is you learn a lot. So if it's in the belly, you can rest assured that this person that you're empathizing with, you've got a certain kind of, not damage, but certain kind of propensity to store trauma in that part of your body. It'll be a little different for everyone, right? So when you, so just pay attention to your body, okay? So there you go. All right. And then we're asking the guides and angels to help us. And they keep showing this big breath. Now that in my case is because I told you earlier I got it right in the belly, right? But it doesn't always happen there. So you got to pay attention, don't you? So let's wrap that in light. Let's bring in some other people and move it over to the side. And then our team replicates themselves. So that team goes away and they're working with me on these issues. Now we're going to bring in a fresh healing table and we're bringing in a fresh team because the team replicates themselves. And who are we going to bring in? We're going to bring in someone who is in, oh, I often bring this person in. She's in chronic pain and there's a lot of bone density issues and a lot of like big resistances. There are several of you, if not a lot more. I mean, we all have problems with our resistances. And the problem with resistances is they can be layered through lifetimes, can't they? Like just layered and layered and layered. We don't know what they all are. But I'll tell you what. If you ask yourself, well, you're lying on the table here, you ask yourself, and when you're lying on the table like this with your team around you, if you ask yourself to feel all your resistances, guess what? You're going to feel them more easily, even if they come from the unfathomable. Don't be looking for reasons for things. Please don't look for reasons for things. You just don't have time for that in life. And remember, the great treasures of these crazy, turbulent, dynamic times are that they can fluctuate enough through the way we hold long-term identity things like resistances and security and so on. They can fluctuate enough to absolutely release those. So you want to pull up resistance, right? That's it. And pull up your, there you go, pull up your resistances. Because this one wonderful woman we keep putting on the tables who's had a terrific amount of body pain, I want to say to her, and I'm sure the teams and guidances are saying that as well, that those resistances that she's had for a couple of thousand years are really a powerful magnet for other people's resistance. Which means back to the whole lesson on empathy, holy mackerel. Then about the time she starts getting free of it, because remember, we're not really conscious of the levels of this resistance. The time she gets free of it, she just zaps somebody else's resistance in, you see? So the idea is to call it up every day. My guides always say 98% of the job is clearing. Not once, not twice, but a million times probably. And the reason for that is the propensity of my friend, who unfortunately is in pain all the time, but it's the propensity of those pains to go back into, not the pains, but the resistances to go back into place for their comfort zone. But she can pay attention to it over and over and clear resistance every time she thinks about it. Let's go back to the Ho'oponopono. I love that. And just even using this, you guys. I'm sorry, please forgive me. I thank you. I love you. I'm sorry, please forgive me. I thank you. I love you. And one of my dear friends said, well, I was always raised sort of blaming myself for everything, so I don't want to do that. And I go, well, I don't think it's like that. I think it's that if we're learning as a species, I think this is part of our evolution, is learning to create our reality. We got to know which parts of us are, for example, if I take on that I'm somehow responsible for this person being criminally insane or for that one being homeless or for this one being in chronic pain, somehow in this huge vat of empathy, there's a part of me that is at some level decreeing or expecting or resonating with and feeding that part of her pain. You can get really intricate like this, but I'm going, for me, it makes sense. If I'm creating my reality, somehow I created that in you. It's unfathomable to me. I have no idea how, but I don't need to know that. But I'm sorry. Please forgive me. I thank you and I love you. And every time I do that, and I've been doing it, I've done it so much over the last little while. I've had so many miracles. I just can't even begin to tell you. It's not about beating yourself up because somehow it's called, we live in an empathetic ocean of people, right? And you and I don't know which part of you or which part of me is hooking up together and really fueling some of our own trauma. So Hu Lin calls it cleaning up, doing that. He apparently does it while, and you might want to listen to Joe Vitale's interview, which is really, he's a delightful man, Joe is. He's the one who really brought this Ho'oponopono forward. But anyway, he says that Dr. Hu Lin watches the news every day, and he does that on all the news. He calls it cleaning up the world, cleaning up the trauma. You know, it's a really, it's kind of an easy thing, but it's pretty remarkable what happens. Anyway, let's get back to our sacred structures here. And I want to look at the people who came in on that. Let's see. Let me see here. My friend who is in chronic pain all the time is feeling quite discouraged, but I want to say, be encouraged. Just keep doing that for a while. You don't do it every hour. You do it all the time. Make it a mantra and run it in the back of your head. And whenever there's a picture of something that's worrying you or weighing you down, just get going. Whenever you've been with someone and that's made you take on their feelings, just do the Ho'oponopono. I think that'll help a lot. The other thing to do, okay, we're going to clear that one, clear it. All you people that were in that one, move it over to the side, and the team is going to go off and work with you still. Now we've got a fresh table. And who is coming in on this table? Okay, you know who's coming in. I've got two dogs here. And there's another dog. He's a little one. I've got two big dogs, but then a little one just showed up. So we've got dog tables here, and the dogs are very well behaved, so they're lying there. But here's an interesting thing. How many of you have ever noticed that dogs look like their owners? That's been joked about for centuries, hasn't it? In little cartoons and everything. Okay, so one dog I know is having quite a bit of suffering. He's having it in the belly. Well, his mom, the woman who loves him and looks after him, has a lot of diverticulitis kind of thing, colitis. She almost died a couple of years ago with it. So she has a lot of belly stuff that's really been crucial. And she was just visiting her mother, who has a lot of belly stuff and a lot of intestinal stuff. And now the dog is writhing around on the floor because he's got a lot of intestinal stuff. Think about it, you guys. This is the sort of thing. This is why dogs look like their masters, because they are taking it on for us, aren't they? They're really amazing. And so you want to look at your dog, and I want to ask the team to please, the dogs are Billy Bob and Kojak, and I think the other one's is Buster. Buster, yeah. Okay, And I don't know Buster, I know the other two. So we're asking the healing teams to work on these dogs. And what happens is we could take the sacred, we could take the star tetrahedron for starters and just spin it through these animals. Spin, 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 spin. Spin it through the animals. That's it. Good. And have them spin and spin and spin and spin. Now, two of them, okay. One of them, interestingly enough, gets a lot of headaches, and so does this master, is a male. Gets a lot of headaches, and the dog gets a lot of headaches. And it's interesting because they're moving his energy right from the base of his spine. You see, because these dogs are really trying to take care of us, aren't they, you know? Yeah, there we go. We're moving that. So he shouldn't have to get headaches to, because a lot of times we empathize, and I think dogs do that as well, to show that we love everyone and to really feel like we're supporting them, right? That makes sense? Okay, so then the little guy has a, oh my goodness, he's got a brain tumor, and he's also got something going on in his throat. And it's really, really uncomfortable for him. But his master has like a big sinus injury. So we've got this dog who's got like a brain tumor and he's got something in the throat. So if we looked at it differently, we could go, okay, well, this dog is showing us what's wrong with the master, which has yet been undiagnosed. So that's interesting. Wow. So we need to look at that, because if empathy works the other way, where you just take on somebody's negativity, guess what? It, you can turn it around and you can make it work in your favor. And that little doggy can be showing what's going on. And I'm not sure how to do it, but the way the healing team, I mean, most of this stuff, like the intrinsic factor, okay? Most of this stuff, you can't figure out how to do it. You have to kind of surrender into it and bring a high frequency energy to it and not being worrying and attached and defining it and blah, blah, blah. Because the sense I got with this little dog is that the energy of the magical energy of subtle, you know, subtle energy could shift his condition in a snappity poo. But anyway, the guides are working with him on that. They've got their hands on his head. I don't know if they have hands, etheric hands that are absolutely radiant on the little guy's head. And I think, yep, I'm just buzzing like mad. So I think that they're going to help him a lot. So let's wrap that little guy in light. And remember with the empathy thing, it's really, really, really important, because you cannot... you cannot be sure who you are if you haven't learned who you're acting out at any given time. Now, let's wrap that in light, move it over to the side, and let's do a political one. Oh, my gosh. Is that ever freaky? One of the things that I don't like about television is that a whole, and I do like television, don't get me wrong, but there's a whole lot of it that if you sit by the TV, and I'm always saying this, right? If you sit by the TV, you will feel whatever emotions are being pumped. And if the people on the TV are jealous and competitive and ambitious and fighting and so on, you're going to feel all that inside. And some of my TV friends say, well, you know, people would, it would really benefit from having those feelings without having to live them. They just do it vicariously. But I question that. What I question is, and I know this is not going to change on the planet, but I'm being Pollyanna here, or an idealist, actually. I'm being an evolutionary kind of person here. That if you're putting out all kinds of sensational things, and they have their sensational effluent, meaning if they're radiating a very sensational response, I think that kindles certain kinds of things in people. They call it freedom of speech, but there's such a tether in some of that stuff. People go around. I mean, I literally get afraid when I go into a forest. Why is that? Because I've been a city kid and I've seen so many movies and stuff that tell you all the terrible things that can happen out in a forest. I'm like, this is, I'm just a product. I'm just an enslaved product of a bunch of stories, you know. I have to get beyond that because there's a true I love to be in nature. So, and it's not all, I'm not always scared, but I do get those feelings, and I'm sure you do too. And I really question that. So anyway, here we have the TV and we have all this lobby stuff and we've got who's the best person to run. I still go back to Batiste de Pape when he was talking about the power of the heart. He did that movie, The Power of the Heart, and he did a wonderful book, The Power of the Heart. And in our interview, we were talking about how it would be really nice if there was a political election, if there's a big election coming up, if people only chose according to who had a good heart. Can you imagine whoever comes from the heart to be the president? I think Obama kind of did, but I heard an interview with Joan Baez today where she was talking about how because we have such insidious racism in this country, you know, and it's been built on that. It's been built on freedom of religion, independent thought, and racism and enslavement by the Christian right. Forgive me for saying that. But anyway, we have a lot of these like contradictory forces going on in the society. And what she was saying is they were talking about having finally, after all the protests that she went through in her working with Martin Luther King and always being like a 60s, 70s singer on behalf of human rights and so on. What does she think about having a black president? And she said, well, she thought it was great, except that his ability, and I thought it was well, very succinctly said, his ability to be a good president, they just challenged him on everything. He failed, if you want to look at it that way, because he was a black president and they weren't going to let him get away with that. She said they just nailed him every time he turned around. And I really think that's true. And we've been caught a lot of times under the wheels of the lobby bus listening to people saying, oh, he didn't do this and that. And I have said some stuff too. But the way she put it, I went, yeah, that's right. Because sometimes when it's back to empathy, the insidious drive of undercurrents, it takes you over. You don't even realize it's going on. A lot of us don't. And that's true about empathy, too. The other day I had an experience of two women being jealous of me. And I've had a lot of that in my life. I think of myself as kind of a, I don't know, sort of simple kind of character. But I've experienced, you know, when you stick your neck out of the stew, sometimes people get jealous of that, don't they? They think people say to me, well, you're a free spirit. I don't know if I feel like a free spirit. Heavens, I just do what comes from the inside as much as I can. And if I'm empathizing, obviously I'm not succeeding about that. But in any case, I had an experience, another experience, and it's not the first one and it's not going to be the last, of a couple of women being jealous. And I went, okay. And what they were doing is pushing me out of a conversation. And I got really, really upset. And the reason I got really, really upset, not to them, no, they don't know this, but or maybe they do, I don't know. But why I got really, really upset is because I want to be totally beyond any of that. And it seems to me, and you know this as well, that when these things happen, go back to Ho'oponopono, you have to go into yourself and find out which part of you, you know, if there's any of that in you. So the part that gives me such terrible angst is that I really would like to be way beyond that. But I'll tell you what, ladies and gentlemen, you have to be brutally honest with yourself about these issues. So I started to write about it, which is a really good thing for me to do. Writing really helps me to figure things out. And I started realizing, back to empathy and this whole vault of humanity for thousands of years and so on, I started recognizing how deeply entrenched jealousy, competition, and all of that stuff, empowerment, empowering over, dominance, rulership, all of that's so tied together. Holy mackerel. And it was fascinating. And I was going, and I'd already said this earlier in this show, where the gods that we were raised with are created by humans. They're not the intrinsic factor. They're not the amazing creator spirit that's going to teach us to create our reality. No, they're the gods that have kept us in line a lot of the time. Some of the great teachers, the great spiritual teachers, are helping us feel the absolute expansion of beingness that's with Source, you know? That expansion, I always tease myself because I used to only buy books by opening them up. And if they had a light, if my body went zzz, I would buy the book. Otherwise, I didn't. And I'm still like that. If I get flyers, even going to people's website, whatever, if I don't get a certain kind of light, I don't bother with it because life is short and there's way too many people and you've got to move it and groove it in order to raise your fields and frequency enough and like that. So anyway, writing about jealousy really helped me understand how entrenched this relativity of you against me, me against you. If you have it, I don't. If I have it, you don't. All of that stuff. We have to move way beyond that. And you know that. And then back to what Peter Calhoun said about rising up and out of and breaking out of that skin, which keeps us limited. We really have to. I kind of think of it as if you're down low in the ocean, you're way down in the water. To get to the top, you have to kick your feet, right? To go straight up to the top and then you're up on the surface. Or kind of think of our raising our fields in frequency, kicking our feet and moving way up through the collective, through that swell or through that huge oceanic empathy swell that's just loaded with thousands and thousands of years of dictatorship, dominance, control, blah, 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 sun love, you know? Even love is fraught with attachment, isn't it? And attachment is fraught with comparison. Anyway, we'll go on and on about that. I already did, didn't I? Ho, ho, ho. So now let's get into the final. Let's do the, I was going to do that political window there, but we did a kind of a political thing talking about things like jealousy and so on and empathy that is crucial. So what I really want us to do is take a minute and really feel. I want you to learn to call in your higher connections. You've got them around you right now. Call in those higher beings. Sometimes when you put your palms up, you can feel it sparkling and crackling inside your body, mind, and in your palms, right? And then say, I want to feel all the energy that came from the last person I was talking to or from, you know what the hardest ones are? Your children. Pick people who are really close to you. Say my children or my husband or my wife or my mother or something. And feel where they are in your body. Feel. And then ask for help as you command total release of that energy now. Total release of that energy now. And then the fun thing is take a star tetrahedron and let's spin it and spin it and spin it under your feet, each foot, and then in your ankles, in your calves, spin and spin and spin these little star tetrahedrons in your knees. Good. And in your thighs, in your genital area, spin and spin and spin and spin. And in your belly, your subconscious. In your belly, again, a lot of people, well, we have a lot of stuff going on in our belly, right? And in your solar plexus, spin and spin, and up into your chest. Good. And then swish them, star tetrahedrons swirling up and down your arms, and then sitting on your hands and your palms, spinning and spinning, and then they move back up into your throat. Into your neck becomes a star tetrahedron, and into your head, the star tetrahedron, spin and spin and spin and spin, and then one on the top of your head, spin and spin and spin. And that's a really good way to release other people's energy at any given time. You can do massive numbers of them, but I would start with one at a time so you can break the code and understand.